Among the many rude expressions that Aussies love, probably the favorite is bugger. Hello, I'm Rachel Kahn, and I confess it's taken me years to get used to it. Well, on today's ARC, I finally get even. Thanks to my guest, Hilbert Chu, a lawyer and historian pursuing a degree in medieval studies at the University of Sydney, the true origin of bugger is revealed. As you might guess, it's religious. Robert Le Bougre first emerged in the strange and turbulent world of 13th century Europe when the church was beset by two major challenges to its authority from the Bogomils and the Cathars.
The Bogomils were actually a much older heretical sect, and they had their origins in the Balkans, in the region that we would now call Bosnia, which was, of course, they were all called Bulgars at the time. They were a problem of the Eastern Church, and the Eastern Church dealt with them sometimes heavily and sometimes not so heavily. And so they did survive, and remnants of them survived all the way through into the Ottoman Empire. The Cathars, on the other hand, was, depending on who you ask, a heretical sect that either developed in the West without influence from outside, or a popular view is also that they were influenced by the Bogomils in some way, and because of that shared some of their beliefs and some of their practices. Some of these included the idea that the universe is created by two gods, one good, one evil, the idea that you can reach salvation by purification, by becoming perfects. And you do this in a process of, in the East, they called it the teleosis, and in the West, they call it the consolamentum. But it was a very similar process of an alternate form of baptism. So you could see that it was a challenge to the church's authority in two very important ways. They found an alternate path to salvation. And secondly, they believed in different doctrine from the church.
So these were genuinely heretical movements, at least in the eyes of the church. How did they affect France, where Robert Le Bougre lived?
In the middle of the 12th century, we first get detailed accounts of what these heretics believed. And most of these detailed accounts actually come from central to northern France. So places like the Rhineland, places like Cologne, places like Paris. But yet what we find towards the end of the 12th century, much more detailed accounts about actual heretical churches in southern France and in northern Italy. And most of the sources for the Cathars actually come from those two areas rather than from northern France, which is the place where Robert's story comes on today.
Wasn't he a fellow traveller before he became a Dominican friar?
That's right. Robert's origins are very unclear. He seems to have had the name Robert le Petit, Robert the Small, which may suggest he originated in northern France. The sources say that he became a heretic and went to Milan and lived there for 20 years as a heretic, possibly in a Cathar church in Milan. And then he converted back to the Orthodox faith, to Catholicism, and joined the Dominican order, which is where the story begins. He starts off in about 1230 as a novice Dominican, but he was sent off back to central France to look for heresy.
So the hunted became the hunter.
That's right.
Who were his prey?
Well, Robert was said to be able to recognize heretics simply by looking at them and hearing them talk, which is, as you know, a very wild claim to make. But when he went back into the Nivernais region in central France in 1233, his mission was to discover heretical depravity. It wasn't very clear precisely what sect of heretics he was looking for, and it also wasn't very clear what sort of characteristics he was looking for. Remember, the Inquisition didn't really exist at this time. We really only had ad hoc tribunals dealing with outbreaks of heresy, if you like, in southern France. So Robert really was one of these ad hoc tribunals. And when he got there, it seems that he himself wasn't absolutely clear on what he was looking for, because what he did was he encouraged the people to accuse each other. He would go to a particular place and then offer the people of that place a reprieve if they would come forward and accuse other people as heretics.
That's a brilliant move, isn't it? Because in the end, it flushes out a whole lot more people and uses them against themselves.
That's right, and it's a tried tactic. And of course, that's precisely what happened. To get out of being in trouble, people would accuse their neighbours. And in particular, they would accuse people who were probably less liked in the community. And the sorts of people we get over and over again in the sources are wealthy merchants who travel from place to place and so possibly didn't have the sorts of community protections in a place, and old women who lived alone.
Now, you mentioned depravity, and I wonder whether Robert was rather interested in sexual deviance. He was known as Robert the Bugger, wasn't he?
That's right. Well, the bugger is an interesting epithet to add to someone. See, it originated from the fact that in the West, whenever people accused someone else of being heresy or knew someone being a heretic, they would call them a bulgare, or in old French, a bougre. The reason for that is, of course, as we mentioned before, the Bogomils, the people in the West, encountered heretics. They assumed that those heretics were related or exactly the same as the heretics in Bulgaria, and so they got the epithet the Bulgars. What's more is that, as a piece of slander, these heretics in the West were frequently accused of engaging in orgies, not just any orgies, homosexual orgies, orgies with Satan present, orgies with incest. And so the name Bulgar came to have this connotation of homosexuality, of sexual depravity. And so we derive that name ourselves. In Middle English, it is Bugra, and in modern English, we say Bugger. So it's interesting how the name itself came from such humble origin as Bulgar and became Bugger.
Indeed. Well, there's a great deal of interest these days in the Bogomils and in the Cathars, probably more so than in recent decades. Why do you think that is? What's the fascination with these heretics?
I think there is a new interest nowadays in giving voice to minority groups, certainly groups that were minorities in their time. And we see a resurgence in research, historical research into things like mental health, religious minorities, and I think heresy is often seen as that. But I also think there is an element of interest, of New Age interest, if you like, in the accusations that the Inquisition often made on the other side. Accusations like homosexual orgies, accusations like cannibalism. And I mean, sociologists are very interested in this sort of thing, into the way groups are stigmatized, groups are accused of activities that are seen as an inversion of what normal people should be doing.
Well, just how successful was Robert the Bugger in being the long arm of the Inquisition?
Well, he seems to have been very successful. He wrote to the Pope, Gregory the Ninth, telling Gregory that the entire region was swarming with heretics, even though in the 50 years previous to that, there were no real accounts at all that survive in our time of heresy. So whether Robert invented this or not, we don't know. But that was certainly the step up that he needed, because Gregory, within 2 years, made him the Inquisitor General of all of northern France, which is a very powerful position. And he also had the backing of Louis IX, the king. Louis, a very interesting guy. He was later made a saint, Saint Louis. And he always said that the only argument a layman could make against a heretic is to thrust a sword into him. And so this was the manner of support Robert got.
And how many people went to the stake?
Well, the numbers aren't absolutely clear, but anywhere between 250 and 500 people were accused, publicly tried, and burned in those 9 years that Robert was about in northern France.
Do we have their confessions in the archives?
In the sources themselves, unfortunately, the accounts aren't very complete. They tend to concentrate on the more sensational aspects, as you would expect. They also tend to assume that the accused confessed. But by looking between the lines, we seem to see that many of the accused didn't actually confess at all. They would often swear by the saints of the sacraments or by the Pope or an archbishop that they didn't do it. But to Robert, that wasn't enough. To Robert, that actually proved their guilt because they were trying to deny it.
Oh dear, no way out.
No way out at all.
And was this really the beginning of the preoccupation with witches that really came to its full blossoming, if you can use such a beautiful word, in the 16th century?
Well, it's hard to say, hard to make a causal link between the two, partly because they're so far apart, and also partly because the sources that describe Robert's movements in northern France never describe any of these people he accused as witches. They never use the word malefica. They never describe their activities as witchcraft. They always describe it as heresy. But we see the elements of witchcraft that later on became much more centralized, much more compact listing of what witchcraft is.
You mentioned the old ladies.
That's right. So in the Malleus Maleficarum, for instance, 300 years later, we have a listing of what witches do. And of course, you have the old lady aspect, you have the satanic aspect, you have these secret meetings with Satan joining in. So we don't have that sort of compilation of what witches are, but we see elements of what witches should be, of what heretics are supposed to be accused.
Hilbert, what sort of sources are you working from?
There are a number of sources that describe Robert's movements in northern France. One of those is, of course, the archive of papal letters that is fairly complete. And Gregory IX's papal bulls are interesting readings themselves. The second source that we've got is from an English monk called Matthew Paris, who described these events in quite great detail. And the third and most detailed source, I think, was actually a poem written in Old French called The History of the Kings of France, written by a nobleman called Philippe Musquet, who seems to have lived in this region that Robert visited and knew the details very well. And he was a very sceptical man. He thought Robert was a fraud. He thought a lot of these accused were actually wrongfully accused. But, of course, no one thought everyone was innocent. They believed sincerely that there were heretics who practiced these sorts of activities in secret.
Well, what happened to Robert the Bugger in the end, so to speak?
Robert disappears from the sources after 1239. This is curious because his big supporter, Gregory IX, the Pope, died in 1241. And there are two accounts for what happened to Robert after that. One says that in one of these public accusations, he was suddenly seized by a young man, and once his victims were released from him, they suddenly denied everything and suddenly everyone believed them. And because of that, Robert was thrown into prison and later died. The second of these accounts says that Robert retreated into monastic life after the death of Gregory IX, and he was welcomed there as a great man at first. But then when people found out about his past evil, they turned against him and threw him into prison, and there he died. So in both accounts, we have a sort of downfall from power the moment his big patron left the scene.
Well, justice was done, perhaps. Now, you're a lawyer, Hilbert, and I want to know what makes you so interested in medieval studies.
Well, medieval studies is an area of history that really is challenging in a documentary sense, quite like law work, because compilation and simple hard work on the sources is such an important part of it. But also, they are so similar and yet so different from us at the same time, in a way that I think other areas of history may not be for me. So because of that, I've always found the stories that come up in medieval history so fascinating.
Do you find parallels with cases that, you know, you look at today?
Well, it's hard to say the general cases in law, but of course, people have made the link between witchcraft and terrorism in the past, and some of the methods used and some of the popular belief that you get in someone like Robert the Bugger is quite like some of the, you know, witch trials, if you like, that people get in the modern age.
Hilbert Chu is a practicing lawyer and a student of medieval studies at the University of Sydney. That's it for today's ARC. I'm Rachel Kahn. Join me again next week at the same time.